Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a guest who has the tools for living a longer, healthier life, which produces growth along the way to become the best you possible. She is Millie Snyder. Millie is an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. She has been positively impacting people's lives for nearly 50 years with her message of healthy living. From September 23, 1969 to July 15, 2013, Millie was the president and CEO of Weight Watchers in West Virginia. Throughout her presidency, Weight Watchers expanded to 51 of 55 counties in West Virginia, 10 counties in northeastern Tennessee, 5 counties in Ohio, and 2 counties in Kentucky. In addition to Weight Watchers, she also owns and operates The Shape Shop, a deli-style restaurant serving healthy, fresh, never-processed foods and treats, catering to all those in pursuit of nutritious fare. And accompanying her expansive career is Millie's authorship, Lean and Luscious, a 2-edition cookbook that offers healthier versions of everyday favorites. Lean and Luscious is welcoming a new volume, Meatless, which is now available for purchase. And with these cookbooks, it is Millie's desire to offer both knowledge and motivation to achieve change. And as Millie says, it's not what you know, but what you do with what you know? And I know that I'm interested to know more. So welcome to the show, Millie.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. I'm thrilled to be with you.
Well, thank you. Now, Millie, you say the object of the game is to play like there's no tomorrow. Preparation is the key, and celebration of life is the motivation. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, you know, whenever there is an opportunity to inspire someone, and by that I mean whether I'm speaking to a group or I have a one-on-one experience, I want to be able to find out what's important to them and then tell them how I see change becoming a possibility. And usually when I have that opportunity, it's because that person to whom I'm speaking is ready to take the step. You know, one of the interesting things about change is it has to be your idea. You know, if it's someone else's, it's going to be a disaster. And so when you have the opportunity to embrace a situation that someone wants to change, you have to be able to open up, and not just for me to say what is important, but to find out what that other person or persons want to have happen in their life.
I know that probably a lot of that comes from your time with Weight Watchers. So tell us about your pre-writing days when you took Weight Watchers by storm.
Well, you know, I joined Weight Watchers in 1966, and of course, by any stretch of the imagination, that was one heck of a long time ago. Of course, at that time, I absolutely didn't want to join because I didn't believe that it could work. And by it, I had tried many other ifs. You named the diet, and I had been on it. You named the pill, and I had swallowed it. I probably tried my own brands of Hocus Pocus, and that was not eating for a couple of days. And frankly, as my family reminded me in those years, it wasn't very pleasant to be around after I had been on something that excluded food. And so when Weight Watchers arrived in Baltimore, and that's where I am originally from, I always apologize to people in West Virginia because I always sound like I'm from Baltimore. So I can't make myself sound like I'm from West Virginia. Truly, this is where my heart is because West Virginia is a wonderful place. But nonetheless, I didn't want to join primarily because I didn't want to fail again. And so I decided that I needed to prove Weight Watchers wrong. At the time, I was dating someone who, by the way, also had a weight problem. And he needed to lose weight. I needed to lose weight. But both of us lived inside of denial. You know, there's a joke attached to that, and denial is not the name of a river. But nonetheless, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. I wasn't going to go, primarily because it was my sister's idea. And my sister browbeat me over the years of my life because I was fat, because she told me every time I ate a roll or a piece of candy or something that the rest of the family was eating, that I would never be successful, that I would never amount to anything. And bear in mind, if you will, that my crime was I was eating a piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a roll. And it was always pushed into such expansive realities that she made up that necessarily weren't my realities. And so when she suggested that I join Weight Watchers, this is how it came about. Tomorrow night, the founder of Weight Watchers is going to do a meeting, and I'm going with you. And I don't know whether that was an invitation or that was a threat, but I demanded that she leave the apartment that I shared with my mother. And as she stormed down the steps, yelling back at me, because remember, I was never going to amount to anything because I now wasn't going to go to Weight Watchers with her, I told her to get off my back, get out of my life. And by the way, I did not join. Well, back to the boyfriend who also had a weight problem. We went out to dinner at an Italian restaurant, and we did that frequently, especially on Sunday nights, because it was always two for one. Now, that didn't mean we shared.
Mm-hmm.
It meant that he had two meals, and I had two meals. And he also was a singer, a wonderful, wonderful melodic voice. And he said to me at dinner when we were at an Italian restaurant, literally piling in the food, he said, you know, this week in choir practice, I was short-winded, and I saw that as my opening. And I said, Harvey, you know, you're fat. You need to join Weight Watchers. I don't know where that courage came from, and he just got very quiet, didn't stop eating, but got quiet, and just kind of looked at me with some sort of a stare. And I said, look, if you were short of breath, you need to lose weight. But believe me, more than looking out for Harvey, I needed to prove a point. I needed someone to go to this sister's idea and prove that it was the worst thing on the planet. Well, he agreed that he would join. And in those years, Weight Watchers had one meeting, and it was on a Thursday night. And he promised me at that Sunday night dinner that he would go Thursday night. Well, every Thursday night, I had to work late, and that's a legitimate excuse. And he would call, oh, I would say around 6 o'clock, and give me an excuse why he couldn't join. And he would go the following week. And all through the weeks that would ensue, we continued our behavior, because that's what we knew how to do. And we complained about, you know, diets that were out there, and this one didn't work and that one didn't work, but we never stopped eating. And then every week he had another excuse. He would call me up on Thursday night and he would have another reason why he couldn't go. He had to run an errand. He had to do a favor for a friend. He had to do something for his mother. It was another excuse every week. And we went through the summer of 1966, and finally it was September 1st. And it was 5:30, then it was 6:15, and I did legitimately work late on Thursday night, and I didn't hear from him. So I thought one of two things. Either he's done with me, or maybe, oh my God, he's going to go to that thing tonight, and good. Well, I'm going to find out what I know is true, and I'll be able to call my sister up later and give her a piece of my mind, so that the next time she has another diet for me to go on, I will be able to put her in her place. Well, I didn't get home from work. We worked until 9:30 on Thursday nights, so I didn't get home until around 10. And when I walked into the apartment, as I said, I shared it with my mother, she was talking to Harvey on the phone. She handed me the receiver, and he said to me, not hello, how are you? He said, you're going next week. Well, you know that falling in love stuff. I said to him, okay, fine, I'll go. I said it a little sweeter than that. And when I hung up the phone, after we talked for just a few minutes, I think I said every bad word I knew, and I directed it at the receiver, but of course, I had already hung up. Because that wasn't the answer that I wanted. I wanted him to tell me that it was a farce, that it wouldn't work, that it didn't work, that I would waste my time and my energy. I needed proof. I needed proof to silence my sister. That was the most important thing to me. Well, I now have a week, and the next Thursday night is September the 8th, and I eat all week long. And the day that I would join on Thursday, September the 8th, I had breakfast with my mother, as I did every day, and that was usually a poached egg on toast and half a grapefruit. And I would always say to her, I don't know why I can't lose weight. You see what I eat. Please, my mother never saw what I ate. Because when I got to work, that's when the serious eating began. Because there was a wonderful Greek restaurant next to where my job was located. And they could make everything I loved. And it was always either fried, or refried. Not refried beans, but just refried, you know, just to make that point. And it was just the most amount of food you could have. And I would always carry that into work. And, of course, I had the breakfast with my mother. But, of course, I would always pile it in. And all through that day, I probably was out of the office more than I was in the office. At approximately 5 o'clock that afternoon, I went next door to the Greek restaurant, and I ordered 5 hamburgers. Now, I do want you to know there's some inspiration coming here, so just hang with me. 5 hamburgers, 2 double orders of French fried potatoes, and growing up in Baltimore, you have gravy on top of the French fries. And then I went up to a ice cream store, and I had only 1 milkshake made with 6 dips of ice cream. You know, I'm not a sacrilegious person, but between you and I, that was my last supper. I was going to go to this Weight Watcher thing. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. I don't care what Harvey said the week before. And before I left, and I didn't have to leave my office till about 7:30 because in those years, meetings didn't start till 8 o'clock at night. I prayed my car wouldn't start. Maybe I would get caught in traffic, you know, miss, you know, make all those red lights, be late. Maybe I wouldn't find a parking place. I was hoping against hope that I wouldn't be able to go. I got out to my car, started immediately. That night, I made every green light. And although it sounds very made up, it's a true story. When I got to the place where the meeting was held, there was a parking place in front of the building. Well, I did one last desperate thing. I took off my clear glasses and I put on my sunglasses, hoping that no one would recognize me, but it has to be said that the problem is from the neck down. And when I walked in, a girl from high school recognized me and she wanted me to meet the woman who was going to change my life. And of course, my first answer was, oh, I'll meet another fat lady. You see, I was very angry. I was very bitter. I was very down on myself. And I promise you, I didn't want another failure to my credit. I had tried so many times. Well, I was pointed out to that person. She was talking to someone. I was very rude. I was very belligerent. I walked over to her and I had a finger up in the air and I told her that I was opposed to being here. There was nothing she could tell me that I don't already know. She brought Weight Watchers to Baltimore and she was from the New York area. And she said to me in a very cutting voice, she said, well, if you're so smart, how come you're still fat? Now, that's never been done in Weight Watchers, but it was done to me the night that I joined. Harvey had motioned to me, like, you know, mouthing the words, that the first week he lost 4.5 pounds. And I knew that couldn't be true, because I want to tell you, I'm not stupid. He ate so much food that week that you can lose weight eating that much food. But he was following the program of Weight Watchers. So I figured they must have told him to tell me 4.5 pounds. You have to understand how cynical how negative, how fearful I was. But he said he lost 4.5 pounds the first week. Well, I got weighed, and I was actually at one of my low weights when I joined Weight Watchers because I was always on a diet. I can't really tell you when I wasn't. I was either coming off of one or getting ready to go on another diet. So my starting out weight was 204.25 pounds. I have been as high as 265, and that's when I graduated from high school. I often wonder in my own mind why I didn't get to 300 pounds. I certainly had the eating habits to support that. Well, I didn't like the weigher, and I thought she was kind of conniving. I didn't like the woman who told me what she did. If you're so smart, how come you're still fat? And I want to tell you, she was wearing a gray dress that was the ugliest thing I had ever seen. Even to the point that if it had fit me, I wouldn't have worn it because it was ugly. Anyway, I stayed and I listened to what she had to say. I guess she was supposed to inspire me. But, you know, I was too cynical to let any of that information in. And I joined now. I was a member. She told me what to eat and had me stay afterwards to teach me how to follow the plan. And she kept calling it a program, and I corrected her by calling it a diet. And we went back and forth. She called it a plan. She called it a program. I called it a diet. Finally, at the end of that time together, I agreed to go on her program diet. Because, you know, I'm going to do her a favor. It wasn't about me. It was about her. Well, I followed it the first week. I was so diligent. I was so perfect. Harvey came over and we ate a meal together. We used a food scale because that's what you were supposed to do when you joined in those years. And I went back the next week and I got weighed. And I said to the weigher, the second week, I said, you can put it on 184.25 because I thought the first week you don't eat pizza, you don't eat birthday cake, you don't go to George's lunch every day or breakfast. See, I used to do it both. That, you know, you get blessed and you lose 20 pounds. Well, I got on the scale and the woman said to me, you can get off now. I said, you didn't do anything. And then she repeated herself. Well, I heard her the first time. So the first week, after being on Weight Watchers, I lost 3/4 of 1 pound. Was I right? Of course I'm right. I told you it didn't work. And I went to look for the leader. You know, the first week I encountered her with, you know, that belligerence, and she shot it right back at me. And the second week it was easy to find her. She was wearing a yellow dress, kind of like Big Bird yellow. And I told her, I won't be back. It doesn't work. It might work for them, pointing to other people, but it doesn't work for me. And she called me by my first name as if to suggest that she didn't like my name. And she said, Millie, would you do it for me this week? What she didn't realize was I did it for her the first week. But I did agree to do it for a second week. And probably Harvey figured into that because, you know, he was now ready to start his third week. I did not cheat that first week that I had such a small weight loss. But I stayed on it, and I was faithful. And I used the food scale, and I read the rules over and again. When I went back for my third weigh-in, which was the end of my second week, I got weighed. And while I was standing on the balance scale, the bottom weight was moved off of 200 onto 150. And the weight at the top bar went all the way to the end. And it balanced as she neared 49. And, oh my God, I weighed 199 pounds. And I had lost in that third weigh-in 4.5 pounds. And I couldn't believe it.
Wow, wow.
Oh, actually moved. It actually breathed. And when I took a seat, she came over to me, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and she said to me, it works, doesn't it? And I said, yeah. That night, with my having lost weight, She was wearing a pink dress, and I have to tell you, it had possibilities, because suddenly I had possibilities. And I had a wonderful, wonderful 47-year career with Weight Watchers, and it is a wonderful program. It has changed lives. It certainly changed mine.
Wow, what a story you have. So then you decided to write cookbooks to share with others. Is that how that worked out?
Yes, and that's exactly the how that happened. And I wrote the book with a high school chum, and we had we had done four books, Lean and Luscious, Lean and Luscious and Meatless, and then we did Lean and Luscious Favorites. And that went on from 1985 until 1993, when it became impossible for us to work together. And that's a story that I really would like to go away. And for 17 years, she would not bargain. She would not come to a mediation point. And finally, in 2010, I was able to successfully buy her out. And I brought back the two Lean and Luscious cookbooks that have been brought up to today's nutritional standards, simply because they are quality books. The recipes are easy. They're the kind of books that everybody should have in their kitchen. So many people have cookbooks. They don't use them because there's too many ingredients, too many steps. And in my cookbook, that's not true. They are readily available things that you have in your house. You don't have to travel across town to find some foreign site. The steps are easy, and you can put a meal together within a 30, 35-minute period of time and be sitting down with your family shortly thereafter. And, of course, crock pots are very, very popular. And there's nothing better than walking into the house and smelling the aroma of something warm and healthy.
Absolutely.
My books actually help people make healthy eating easy. I was doing a book signing just a few months back, and I was featuring one of my recipes, creamy potato soup, and a gentleman came over and took a taste, and he said to me on the QT, he said, you know, you can't call this Lean and Luscious. I said, why is that? He said, you put cream in this recipe. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. I'm telling you, this tastes like it's got cream in it. So I opened the book, and I showed him the recipe, and it's made with evaporated skim milk. So he was very, very shocked because he was so pleased with the way that it came.
That's awesome.
I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that I have been able to change people's thinking, change people's minds, but really it's tasting and doing and actually participating in the changes that need to be made. In today's world, as we sit in 2016, obesity is growing by leaps and bounds, and I want things to change at the family level. You know, there are so many young children today who are starting out at very, very high numbers, and they need to change their eating habits. We have to change our mind about our body, and that's the only way that we're going to really achieve a meaningful success.
That's
so
perfect.
Lean and Luscious has a wonderful name. The recipes that are a part of that truly make a difference. I will always speak with the highest love and respect for Weight Watchers because it changed my life.
Right, right. And your Lean and Luscious books have won several awards as well.
We have won several awards. We've gotten the attention of various judges around the country. Actually, we have gotten some from out of the country, and I'm very excited about that. So they are available on Amazon.com. They're available on the Internet by simply putting in leanandluscious.com, and it'll find my computer, and we'll be happy to ship books out. We've advertised in the Vegetarian Times for the Meatless book, and there are so many people who would like to have a meatless lifestyle, but they don't know how to do it in a healthy way. They just think, well, I'll just throw cheese at that. And I want to be able to say that if you have a weight issue and you have a meatless lifestyle, then the Lean and Luscious meatless version is a wonderful item to have in your home.
Mm-hmm. And then you also opened a restaurant called The Shape Shop in Charleston, West Virginia. So
I did that in 1976 and tried to make it as brief as possible. In those years, I wanted a place that my members of Weight Watchers could go to make it easier for their lifestyle. And restaurants wouldn't cooperate, and a couple of supermarkets that I went to, they wouldn't participate. Nobody will buy that stuff, the different managers said to me. So I got frustrated, and I said, fine, I'll do it myself. I knew nothing about the food business. And what I'm happy to tell you is that on April 1st this year, we celebrated our 40th anniversary. Shape Shop is a unique little tiny store where we make everything from scratch. Nothing is processed. And we prepare things in a healthy manner. We do our portion control. And we have built up quite a following of people in the local area. I just recently read an article in The Week magazine that said if we're going to help people with their weight, the restaurants in various communities need to get involved. Well, in little tiny Charleston, West Virginia, I've addressed that, and more restaurants need to step up to the plate and offer healthy items on their menu so that people can go out to eat without worrying about what they're going to choose. Mm-hmm. It's a responsibility that people have to take on. They have to do a little research how to make that happen. You know, my cookbooks are one answer. And there's so much information available for people to take better care of themselves. But, of course, you have to want to do it. Right. And you have to want to do it for the right reason.
Yep.
Not because someone called you a disparaging mm-hmm. name. And not because the doctor just read you the riot act. You have to want to do it because you care about yourself.
Wow.
And for some people, they're just beginning to learn what self-respect really, really means. Another way of saying it is that we have to become our own best friend. And if we don't do it, no one's going to do it for us.
Mm. Very profound, and you've lived this. You've walked the walk and talked the talk now, and you've gone from dealing with what your sister did to you to finally making it through Weight Watchers to representing that company in a grand way to writing cookbooks to taking care of your community with this restaurant for so many years. So what's next for Millie Snyder?
Well, I'm actually working on my biography. I'm not writing it. I'm telling it to a very talented woman here in Charleston, and the book will probably be available by the end of this year, and we're going to call it Shine On. And I really am not doing the book because I'm on an ego trip, because that's not where I'm coming from. But the things that have happened over these many, many years are very encouraging, very supportive to people who from time to time may face some insurmountable issues, and instead of giving up, you need to hang in there, and you need to believe in yourself, and you need to do what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And that essentially is what my story is all about.
Oh, wow.
Don't quit and don't give up.
Well, we can look forward to that, and I guess people will be able to find that on your website. So maybe help us with that. Where can listeners learn more about you, and where can they purchase your books?
Well, of course, I have a website, milliesnyder.com. And it also ties together with leanandluscious.com. And I'm available on the World Wide Web. It's really that simple.
They can find you if they want. So, folks, if you want to live a longer, healthier life and be the best you possible, let's start with Millie's books, her award-winning cookbook, Lean and Luscious, the book that started it all. And then her latest cookbook release, Lean and Luscious Meatless, is now available at Amazon and fine bookstores everywhere and at her website, milliesnyder.com. Millie, you are an inspiration, and it has been such a pleasure and honor to have you share your story with us today, and I know it will be empowering for other folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. I've enjoyed this time with you.